at Grace Presbyterian Church. I could keep going down the list, but I'll keep it at that. Father and mother, not a mother, I mean a father of my wife Emily here, and is with our five-year-old son, Rudy. And we have a four-year-old named Matthias and a two-year-old, Sophia, so we're kind of busy. But I do want to give you thanks. I want to thank Pastor Joel and the session and you, the members, for allowing me the opportunity to bring God's word to you this evening. Like I mentioned a moment ago, pastor of the Shepherd's Church, I bring you greetings from it's a church plant in Riverside. And by God's grace, the work is prospering and we're growing steadily, but we do covet your prayers. If you do know anyone in Riverside or the Inland Empire who's looking for a Reformed church, please send them our way. I'll be more than happy to speak with you after the service and to give you any more information about our church plant. I do thank you for your prayers for that endeavor. But if you do turn to your copy, if you have your copy of Scripture, I invite you to turn to our sermon passage, which is Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 24, well-known passage of Scripture, which was actually quoted in the prayer for the church a moment ago. Lamentations chapter 3, reading verses 22 to 24. Hear now the very words of the living God. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Amen. Thus far, the reading of God's holy, inerrant, infallible, and authoritative word. May you write it upon our hearts. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. So goes the first stanza and refrain of the hymn we all love to sing. Great is thy faithfulness. But as you hear those words, and perhaps while you sing it, what comes to your mind? What scene do you picture? What scenario do you envision? Since it talks about God's creation, maybe you imagine peaceful streams in a lovely forest. Perhaps you think of a time when God answered one of your prayers. Or maybe if you're like me, you think about a quiet morning without the sound of screaming children while you're just drinking your coffee. These personal experiences, these moments of God's faithfulness in our lives are what cause us to praise him. We express our gratitude to God for the peace he has brought into our lives. He's been faithful to you and me, to all of us. Therefore, we should be thankful to God, knowing that his loving faithfulness extends to every one of us. However, imagine praising God against a backdrop of crumbling buildings, burning houses, and the anguish of losing loved ones. That's the setting of the passage we just read, Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. The scene is one of utter devastation, deep sorrow, and indescribable pain. Does that resonate with you tonight? Maybe not literally, but spiritually, that scenario feels all too real in your heart. Or maybe it is actually happening to you. Yet even amid such devastation, this passage always rings true for you and me. Despite your pain and sorrow, this passage assures you and I of three truths connected to the three tenses in your life. God has forgiven your past, is providing for your present, and has secured your future in his everlasting kingdom. That's what we learn in this passage and will serve as our sermon outline for this evening. God has forgiven your past, has provided for your present, and has secured your future. So let's see how that's the case with our first point. God has forgiven your past. But before we proceed, let's fully explain the historical context of this passage. When these verses were written, most likely by the prophet Jeremiah, Jerusalem lay in ruins. Israel had broken the covenant God had made with them at Mount Sinai and renewed before they entered into the promised land. Israel committed idolatry, immorality, and injustice. Therefore, they merited the ultimate covenant curse God promised in Deuteronomy 28, exile from the promised land. And to accomplish this, God sent the nation of Babylon to punish the people of Israel for their disobedience. The Babylonians destroyed God's temple, leveled Jerusalem, and hauled its citizens back to Babylon to serve as slaves. And as you can imagine, the scene was horrific. With the city decimated and nothing but the peaceful sound of crackling fires, one man stood among the ruins, Jeremiah. How do you think he felt? How would you feel? I'm sure thankful or joyful didn't best describe him at that moment. He didn't say, like most of us are saying at the moment, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Perhaps that's how you walked into worship this evening. It's difficult to thank God and find joy in him during seasons of distress and pain and loss. Undoubtedly, Jeremiah was devastated. After all, history has come to know him as the weeping prophet. Yet despite the death and devastation that surrounded him, Jeremiah's heart was filled with an assurance that transcended these painful circumstances. This assurance, born from his unwavering faith in the Lord, is what we celebrate even during our trials, even during the midst of utter destruction and chaos. It's a hope that you too can find and can hold on to during your trials. Reassurance that God's faithfulness isn't dependent on your past. Beloved, God is faithful to you even amid your darkest moments. And that means you can be assured of God's forgiveness, that for God's forgiveness is unwavering. We know this from Jeremiah's words in verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Now zero in on that word steadfast with me for a moment. As you may know, it refers to God's covenant faithfulness to those who cannot save themselves, for those who are unfaithful. God's steadfast love is his binding himself in unending devotion to his people, regardless of their past. However, how can that be given Israel's past? As we read the Old Testament, we wonder why God hadn't destroyed Israel sooner. As you know, Israel's past is full of sin, idolatry, and gross immorality. Israel was anything but faithful to God. And given their past, they were unworthy of the title God's people. These are God's people from a purely human perspective, that is embarrassing. And the same is true of you and me. We all have a past we're not proud of. Behind all of us lurks a past we're utterly ashamed of. Like Israel, our past is filled with sin, idolatry, and gross immorality. It includes things that you and I wouldn't dare share with anyone. They're that shameful. And even after many years, perhaps decades, you still feel the shame of your past. We've all had moments where we strayed from God's path, when we've been unfaithful. Your past haunts you, just like Israel's past did as they were exiled from the promised land. And yet, God didn't consider Israel's past a prerequisite for fulfilling his promises. And beloved, neither does he do that with you. As you know, Israel's unfaithfulness, as we mentioned, ultimately led to its exile. And as Jeremiah witnessed such death and destruction, one question I'm sure kept replaying in his mind. Has God broken his promises? Has he cast us off forever? Am I no longer his child? We often ask such questions in times of distress, don't we? Perhaps you're asking similar questions this evening. Am I going through these dark trials because God is holding my past against me? After all, isn't that what he's doing with Israel here in this passage? Beloved, there are moments when true believers experience God's fatherly displeasure, which is a form of discipline and correction. But praise be to God that you and I will never experience condemnation, which signifies a permanent separation from God. And though God's people proved unfaithful, God would remain faithful to them. We know this because, as Jeremiah states in verse 22, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. God didn't cease fulfilling his promises due to Israel's past. Quite the contrary, Jeremiah's words assure you that God is committed to fulfilling his promises to forgive his people for their past. God is devoted to bringing about the means by which he would forgive your sins. And despite your past and Israel's past, God would still provide a savior. And we see God fulfill that promise in the pages of Scripture. God will provide a savior to crush the serpent's head. And this savior would fulfill God's promise, as we read again and again in Scripture, to Abraham. Unlike the sacrifices offered by the Israelites, this Savior will be the perfect sacrifice. This Savior would be the heir to King David's throne, whose reign will never end. Beloved, that's why God's steadfast love never ceases. He's committed to that promise regardless of his people's past. His promises don't depend on what his peoples have done or left undone. And as you know, we often believe that God's faithfulness depends on what we do. Thus, we frequently fall into despair when we reflect on our past, the things we've done. However, the contrary is true. Our despair is what compels God to remain faithful to his promises. For example, Psalm 106, verses 44 to 45 says, "Nevertheless, he looked upon their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake, he remembered his covenant and relented according to the abundance of his steadfast love." We witness God's steadfast love revealed in Scripture, culminating in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He's God's answer to our distress. For Jeremiah and us, the certainty of God's faithfulness provides a profound peace and security. And beloved, God's faithfulness isn't dependent on your past. Instead, God fulfills his promises because of your past. He's true to his word, and that's the assurance you and I have in Jesus Christ. The reason is that through Christ, God covers your past. He gave his life so that God's mercies would never end. Through his death on the cross, Christ has earned and ensured that all your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. That's why, as Jeremiah says, God's mercies never come to an end. God's mercies surpass his judgment, and because God's mercies never end, he's always willing to start anew with those who repent. The reason is that God's mercies in Christ have completely engulfed your past. Beloved, God no longer holds it against you. He has forgiven everything you've done. And that's what makes the gospel good news for you and me this evening. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, Paul assures us of that reality by writing that in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. In Christ we have a Savior whose mercy is infinite toward you and me, and who will never leave or forsake us. That means God will never hold any of your sins against you. He has forgiven your past. And whenever we confess our sins, we can be assured of God's mercies in Christ because, as Jeremiah proclaimed, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. But that isn't all that God has done, beloved. God hasn't just forgiven your past. We also learn that he's also providing for your present, for the here and now. And this brings us to our second point in verse 23. God is providing for your present. Imagine what it was like for Jeremiah to wake up the next day after witnessing Jerusalem's destruction. As I mentioned a moment ago and asked, how do you think he felt? The Babylonians had uprooted his entire life. He couldn't go back to the way things were. Upon waking the next day, Jeremiah undoubtedly thought, where is God? Has his mercies ended? Because it certainly seems that way. We often ask similar questions during difficult times, don't we? As you know, life is filled with challenges and hardships. We frequently face tremendous pain and sorrow in this life. We succumb to temptation and later regret the sins we've committed. We fall unexpectedly ill and sometimes never fully recover. We often lose what's dear to us: homes, jobs, family, spouses, children, friends. And during those difficult times, one question that lingers in your mind is whether God is with you. Is he present amid all this devastation? And perhaps you're asking questions like that this afternoon. Jeremiah certainly understood what that felt like. He lost everything when the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem. I'm sure Jeremiah wondered, where will I even lay my head? Where will my next meal come from? How will I cope with my grief? All of my friends are dead. It's hard to imagine anyone, let alone Jeremiah, in that situation, waking up and saying, here's to another day of fresh grace and mercy. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Praise the Lord. And yet, that's exactly what he does in verse 23. Through his pain and sorrow, through the weeping that he most likely was what he was doing as he was writing these precious words, Jeremiah came to realize that God was still present with him. God's mercies remained with him so profoundly that he could declare, they are new every morning. Jeremiah is extending the depths of God's mercy from the past to the present. Beloved, God's mercies don't just cover your past. It reaches to the here and now. And that's why Jeremiah is confident that God is with him. And the same is true of you. As you know, as you can tell, as you can see looking back on your life, you can see God's great faithfulness toward you. He's provided everything you need for your life, hasn't he? Beloved, God doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to give you anything. He doesn't have to give me anything. Forgiving our past is entirely sufficient, isn't it? And even that is undeserved. And yet, God goes above and beyond by still providing all your needs. You may not have what you want, but I am sure you have everything you need. God has been faithful to us despite our struggles. And so, beloved, my question for you this evening is this: if God has always been faithful to you in the past, why would he stop now? The past 2 years have been very challenging for my family and myself. At the beginning of 2024, our 3-year-old son, Matthias, was diagnosed with severe autism. It's been difficult with lack of sleep and wondering if things will ever change. To make matters worse, my mother was in 2 severe car accidents, one of which nearly took her life. I also had very close friends pass away. 2024 was also marked by the start of our church plant, bringing an additional layer of stress and gray hair to my head. It's been difficult, to say the least. And in many ways, it still is. And I'm sure you can relate. Perhaps you've lost your job. Maybe you've lost a loved one. You might be dealing with difficult family issues, Perhaps you received an unexpected diagnosis of a terminal illness. But despite all these and other hardships, one truth remains constant: God's unwavering faithfulness toward you. Beloved, God's faithfulness is so immense that it cannot be contained. Psalm 36, verse 5 states, "Your steadfast love, your faithfulness, O God, Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds." We witness God's faithfulness time and again, don't we? Day after day, he provides everything we need. And occasionally, he even grants the things we desire for our enjoyment. Each day starts with God's steadfast love and concludes with his faithfulness. Psalm 92, verses 1 to 2 reminds us of this truth. "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night." That's why it's always an appropriate time to praise the Lord. Beloved, God has provided for your present. He's provided us with homes, food, clothing, family, friends, employment, and wonderful church communities. These blessings prove that God is with us and that his mercies are new every morning. Knowing God provides for our present allows us to do what we were created to do, to praise and thank. We learn this truth in Psalm 104. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." Despite our struggles, you and I can still rejoice that God is with us. And even when these temporary blessings are taken away, when your health declines, when you face financial difficulties, your family falls apart, or your loved ones pass away, God's mercies are new every morning. He's still with you. And beloved, that will never change. The prophet Habakkuk understood that truth. Like Jeremiah, who was his contemporary, Habakkuk ultimately faced the Babylonians' wrath. He recognized that God would use Babylon to punish Israel. And like Jeremiah and all of Israel, Habakkuk lost everything. Yet amid such loss and devastation, Habakkuk knew God was still with him and that his mercies were new every morning. And this assurance prompted him to rejoice in what the Babylonians, what your trials, what my trials, what everything that may be going on in our world can never destroy: our salvation. Listen to what Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 18 says. "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation." Beloved, you can rejoice even when things around you are falling apart. The reason is that God is with you and will never leave you. We know God is with us because isn't that what he did through the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't that what we celebrate during this time of year? Emmanuel, God with us. God's only begotten Son took on our flesh to be present with us. And Ephesians chapter 1 expresses this truth. The Father hasn't merely forgiven your past because you're chosen for salvation. The Son achieved it so you can be with him forever. Christ has reconciled you to the Father through his death, washed away all your sins, and secured an inheritance in an everlasting kingdom. And beloved, these blessings await you. And they can never be taken away because, as Jeremiah says, God's mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Knowing God forgives your past and provides for your present means he's also secured your future. And that's the inevitable consequence of all of this. And this brings us to our third point found in verse 24. God has secured your future. As you're aware, our world is often marked by hopelessness. Just turn on the news and you'll know what I mean. People are lonely and despairing, believing they have no future. pain and sorrow surround us. And we're not immune to this reality. We often experience seasons of suffering and difficulty. And during those times, it's common to feel hopeless and think we have no bright future. I'm sure Jeremiah felt similarly. He experienced sorrow, felt hopeless, and at times, I'm sure, believed a bright future was out of reach for him. We know this because, as we've been mentioning, the Babylonians uprooted Jeremiah's entire life, and not just his, but all of Israel. Can you imagine an entire nation being uprooted from their way of life? They lost their homes, friends, and even family. Perhaps you can relate to the pain and loss of losing your home and having nowhere to lay your head. Remember, living in the promised land was a sign of God's blessing to his people. It meant you were part of God's covenant people. God granted the promised land to Israel when he freed them from slavery in Egypt. God even described the extent of the promised land in the book of Numbers. This is all yours. However, this blessing was taken away from Jeremiah when Jerusalem was destroyed and God's people were exiled. Can you imagine the utter hopelessness they must have endured? Those who survived the Babylonians' wrath had no idea where they would end up or where they would lay their heads. Their future looked dim. Yet despite all of this, Jeremiah possessed an unshakable hope in the Lord. And we know this from what he says in verse 24. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Focus with me on that word portion for a moment. That word is often used in the Old Testament to describe the land allotted by God to each Israelite as his inheritance. As I mentioned a moment ago, we see this in the book of Numbers, where God outlines the borders of the promised land. When God promised a portion of the promised land to each of his people, there was great celebration. However, as we've noted, everything, including this land, was taken from Israel, including Jeremiah. We often experience similar hardships. As you know, sometimes life removes things from us. We lose possessions, spouses, friends, and even children. And yet your trials and challenges can never take away your hope in the Lord. They cannot destroy your eternal inheritance because God has secured your future. That God allots himself to us is incomprehensible and should fill our hearts with tremendous hope. The reason is that the Lord is your portion. God's people have always considered the Lord as their portion and inheritance. For example, listen to what King David says in Psalm 16, verses 5 to 6. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I have a bright future. David says this because the promised land pointed to something greater, eternal life in God's everlasting kingdom. In other words, Jeremiah's hope wasn't in what God could give him. His hope was in God himself. He's Jeremiah's portion, not in some physical land where moth and rust can destroy, but in God's everlasting kingdom where neither moth nor rust can destroy, and that hope can never be taken away from him. And beloved, the same is true of you. We know this because Christ has given himself to secure your future, secured it by his life, death, and resurrection. He gave himself so that you and I would have an everlasting inheritance in his kingdom. That's your future. And we learn this truth in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, don't we? Paul states that in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And that future fills our hearts with tremendous hope because nothing can take it away. Jesus promised you that future, didn't he? Listen to what he said on the night before his crucifixion to his troubled disciples, to our troubled hearts. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Beloved, this room, this mansion, this house can never burn away in the fire. It can never perish with the sands of time. It can never be taken away because of your trials. Instead, your future is secure because you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. He's the one who applies all of Christ's benefits to you that he earned for you. And that's why your future is secure. And we know this because, once again, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14, Paul describes that we were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. In other words, God has ensured that your future is secure. And so you and I can boldly praise the Lord because God has earned these blessings for you. His person and work guarantee that your place in his everlasting kingdom is safe and secure. Christ's faithfulness, not yours, guarantees your future inheritance in the heavenly places with him. And it's yours by looking solely to him by faith. And as we conclude, this passage teaches us that God has forgiven our past. He provides for our present, and we have a future in his kingdom. And so as we leave here this afternoon, ponder the depths of God's past mercies. Thank him for his great faithfulness towards you in the present. And let your heart be grateful for your bright future and unshakable hope in him. Beloved, your trials, the things you are enduring, they will not last forever. Beloved, we have hope in Christ and mercies without end. Our God is always with us, even to the end of the age. Because as Jeremiah says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. All glory, honor, and praise to him alone. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God and loving Heavenly Father, amid life's challenges and uncertainties, we cling to your everlasting love and faithfulness, knowing that your mercies are new every morning. Thank you for your steadfast love, which remains constant and a source of hope that never fades, even when we feel lost and overwhelmed. Guide us through each day, reminding us of your great faithfulness, and grant us the strength to face whatever comes our way, trusting in your unfailing grace. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, let's